Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars. It's my 9th season here.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's Christmas. But we don't want to talk about Christmas. We want to talk about Star Wars. So that's what we're going to do. Talk about Star Wars. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it. So just keep that in mind.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Oh, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick, joined as always by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Hey!
And Nick Glover.
I'm doing jazz hands, but you can't tell, I just realized.
That was my lightsaber noise.
Oh, that's so good.
So here it is. Here it is Christmas week, and we're not going to talk about Christmas.
Fuck Christmas.
Fuck Christmas.
We're atheists.
Yeah.
Woo,
Christmas.
And we were talking about, you know, the war on Christmas has been very quiet this year.
Yeah.
It's been very, well, you know what's not quiet? Mm. What's going on this week, what we feel is topical in the geeky community,
yes,
is
Sisters, the movie starring Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
And I love Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, but that's not what I was going to say.
Not it.
It's not it.
What is it?
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
That.
Get out. Get the fuck out.
As a parent, I've seen more than one Alvin and the Chipmunks movie, and that I don't even want to fucking talk about
Jason
that.
Jason Lee, what are you doing?
Oh, Jason Lee. So anyway, we're not going to talk about the death of Jason Lee, the artistic death of Jason Lee. We are going to talk about probably in the opinion of at least your humble host, may be considered the artistic rebirth of a storied franchise. Of course, I'm speaking of Star Wars.
Star Wars, motherfucking Star Wars! I'm sorry. I'm really excited about this movie. It was really good.
Episode 7.
Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Turn off your fucking podcast if you're not going to want spoilers, because it's happening.
We're
going right
to spoil
now.
The shit out of it.
You get 5.
There's literally no way we can talk about this movie without entering into spoiler territory.
Yep.
So, to be fair to anybody who has not seen the movie yet.
Stop right now.
Yeah. We said stop right now.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Stop right now.
So just as a test, in case you haven't stopped because of spoilers, Han dies. That's your own fault. That's
Han's
on you.
Han's killed by his son.
Han is killed by his son.
Kylo Ren, Ben Solo. It was.
Let me just go there first. Okay, I really enjoyed this movie, but I have to say, my response to that situation, my response about Kylo Ren is, I don't give a flying fuck if he is redeemed. The motherfucker killed Han Solo.
I am so glad he killed Han Solo, because I thought Han Solo was the most boring part of that movie. Because he was, and I'll tell you why. Because it felt like he was only there because he had to be, and he did a good, Harrison Ford did a fine job, but it felt very much like, oh, if it's the Millennium Falcon, of course we have to have Han Solo. But it didn't feel like it felt like it could have been anybody. So, I mean, it just, I don't know.
Do you two know about how Jedi was originally supposed to end?
Yep.
So, the original ending to Jedi was Han Solo dies, mm-hmm, and Luke just leaves.
Yeah.
Luke just goes off on his own.
So, almost what happened.
Like, I feel like this movie, is almost erasing the Ewok ending that we got instead.
Yep.
And starting us on that right path. And I think that, Kylo Ren, I feel, okay, so Darth Vader and Palpatine are amazing villains.
Mm.
And they've got their cred. I mean, they blew up Alderaan. They, mm-hmm, they, you know,
they did some badass shit.
They're evil motherfuckers.
Yep,
just look at them.
Yep.
And here we have this kind of B-list Darth Vader knockoff kid, right?
You mean Kylo Ren?
Right. So
I disagree with
hang
that.
On.
All right.
Hang on. to the new person to these movies who maybe
haven't seen the movie
who
yet.
Maybe has doubts.
All right.
So, I feel like, much in the same way that, Rey and Finn are finding themselves and figuring out their identity and trying to embark on this quest of self-discovery,
mm-hmm,
I feel like Kylo Ren is in the same place they are, but he's finding himself as a villain.
Yeah.
And I feel like killing one of the most beloved characters in Star Wars is like the best thing that you could ever do to establish someone as a villain.
And absolutely, I don't disagree. I'm saying is, I almost don't want there to be a redemption arc.
As far as
I'm concerned, he's already crossed a threshold from which he should not be allowed to return.
I think there's a specific reason he says, "You're right. I know what I have to do." He says to Han, "I am being torn apart. I am being torn apart." And the way we are seeing it, because we're kind of seeing it through Han's eyes, is like, because we've already heard him, you know, praying to Vader in a way and saying, I'm tempted by the light, like, and, oh, you know, great, what is it? It's not Grand Emperor, Supreme Leader.
Snoke.
Supreme Leader Snoke sees it in me. The others sense it, like this embarrassing, you know, tendency toward the light. And so we're seeing it through Han's eyes when he's like, I am being torn apart and I know what I have to do.
Han answers the wrong question.
I have the courage.
Yeah.
Yep. And so then when it seems like he's turning in his badge and his gun, you're like, oh, this is happening. Takes off the mask, and it feels all like, oh, he's turning it over.
He's really asking for permission to kill his.
Which I think Han, with the way he reached, so the moments that I cried, the opening crawl, and then this moment when Han reaches up and cups Ben's face. Just as, like, that's the last thing he does, which
as
is it was a way of being like,
I forgive you.
Yeah. I love you. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're my son no matter what.
That's
why he said, will you help me do the thing I have to do to become the man I know I was born to be?
And he means the dark side.
And Han, I think, to some degree, I like to imagine that as Han fell, he thought, fucking Leia, I knew I was right, because he says to Leia, there's no bringing him back, like he's gone, and Leia's like, no, he's still our son. And I think as he falls, I imagine him just in his snarky little head being like, I knew it.
I read a comment today, someone was like, that bitch got Han Solo killed. Like, someone was mad at Leia for because they're blaming her for the
Han, he's got to try, and I understand that from his perspective, this is his last chance, and Leia has never been able to make Han do a fucking thing in their entire relationship with one another. To say that Leia got Han killed is like failing to understand their relationship from the get-go.
That moment of where he sees Kylo Ren, and he kind of follows him, and you can see this. I mean, Harrison Ford is a good actor, and he did a good job. I don't want to make it sound like I thought Harrison Ford was phoning it in at all. He was great. I just felt like, I was glad he died. How's that? I was just glad Han Solo died, because I think that was the best thing they could have done for his character and for the arc of the series going forward.
Oh, it was a great thing for his character. It gave his character an amazing arc.
The struggle on his face as he's, you can see him trying to figure out, like, God, what can I say? What do I say? And then just, Ben!
Yeah.
And Adam Driver, you know, he has his mask on at that point, and he's kind of, but he straightens up in this way that, like, only happens when you're a kid and your parent like yells your name, and just that way where you're like, you freeze and you're like, oh, like you would know, you know, you would just know. And it's so great.
I love Adam Driver.
I love him too. Were you familiar with him before this, Tim? Because he was in Girls, so we know him from there.
That was his breakout.
Kylo, the guy who played Kylo Ren.
Yeah, wasn't he also in, anyway, I've seen him somewhere
before. He was in a movie called This Is Where I Leave You.
Yeah.
And other than that, I'm not sure.
Girls. Where he plays, like, if Kylo Ren is, like, a 10 or 11 on this, like, traumatic, kind of weird, unstable, emotional guy spectrum, the character he plays in Girls is, like, a 4 or 5, maybe. Like,
I loved the lightsaber tamper tantrum.
Yeah.
That was great.
And what we're seeing in Kylo Ren, and it's something that I've always kind of liked about the dark side, but I don't think they've really shown that thematically, is that the dark side is very much about manipulation, in that the master is manipulating the servant. I mean, what Han says to Kylo Ren...
I think you mean Sith.
Sith specifically. The dark side isn't all...
But he's not Sith.
There are no Sith in this movie.
That's true. He's a Knights of whatever the fuck
he's
it
a knight
is.
Of, he's Knights of Ren.
But the dark side in and of itself, it really feels like it's used to manipulate people.
Oh,
but
it is. But
like, the Supreme Leader is manipulating Ren. He's not... You know, Ren is actually in a very different position than Darth Vader was in the first film, where Darth Vader is... the Emperor's second in command. Ren is not second in command. In fact, General
Hux,
what's his face?
I would
Hux. You mean Ginger Joseph Scrimshaw?
Yeah.
I would argue that the Force, light and dark, is all about manipulation, because I would argue that Obi-Wan manipulated Anakin. I would argue that Obi-Wan manipulated Luke. I think Yoda manipulates Luke. It's part of that.
The dark side is also about passion and emotion and letting your emotions rule you and not controlling yourself in that way, but right. letting those things, giving into that temptations. And the Jedi are all about fucking emotionally neutralizing yourself and keeping everything Buddhism. like zen to the point yeah. where you can't even feel your own emotions. I mean,
and I think, I hope the arc of this movie is about how the Jedi are not a perfect embodiment of the Force either. That light and dark is neither good nor evil. It's how right. you use them.
So I think, so here's something that I, so there was an article that went out that was like, this is the story the prequels should have told that didn't get really told. And the idea is that Anakin is prophesied as the one who will bring balance to the Force. Now, whether that means him or his descendants, it's hard to say. Mm. But the idea that in order to really bring balance to the Force, there has to be light and dark in equal portions or being used in equal portions. Oops. Right? So the idea that, I think that Luke, which we see at the end, and I don't think he's going to be a Jedi anymore. I think he's going to be, like, renouncing the Jedi Order. I don't think it's going to be new Jedi. I think it's going to be, now we have light side and dark side, and we have to work together to balance the Force, maybe. I think that might be the Force Awakening.
My interpretation of that Anakin will be the one to bring balance to the Force thing is, the predominant dark side Force users were the Sith, mm-hmm. and the Jedi were the light side mm-hmm. users, and there were tons of Jedi mm-hmm. very involved in the Galactic Council.
He literally murdered all the kids to right, bring balance yeah. to the Force.
How did he bring balance to the Force? Well, at the end of the movie, there's two Jedi and there's two
that's
Sith.
That's true. Okay, that's a good point.
Like, that's how point. I always thought. That's the balance that happens is that, you know, yeah. there's Obi-Wan and there's Yoda and everyone else is fucking dead.
I guess I've always...
More or less.
Maybe it's because I'm an atheist. I've always separated the Force from the religions
They're distinct.
Because the religions being Jedi and Sith. And all those are just a fucking set of rules. Yeah. And they're just religions. And the Force is a thing that it doesn't matter if you're Jedi or Sith or neither. The yeah. Force is there.
Like Maz.
Like Han found out.
Maz Kanata.
Yeah. Yep, like Maz. She was great. Maz was great.
Yeah. Maz was great. I think, and you know, I don't know where 7 and 8 are going to, or 8 or 9, excuse me, are yeah. going to go. But I think it would be good if we saw that the recognition that the dark side can be used for good mm-hmm. and the light side can yep. be used for evil. Yep. And
it has been, yeah.
And that it's ultimate, and that all this discussion of the dark side meaning you have to be evil and the light mm-hmm. side meaning you have to be good. It's like mm-hmm. there's at the end of the film when we have that battle between Rey and Kylo Ren, which is theoretically, right? It's theoretically light side versus dark side, but you have to accept that Rey is channeling some of the dark side as well. I mean, she's never used the Force before. She doesn't have the slightest fucking clue what she's doing. Yes, she calms herself mm-hmm. and she centers herself mm-hmm. before they fight. Mm-hmm.
She feels the flow.
But I feel that Rey is, I think she's going to be one of the strongest Force users we've ever seen. I think she and Kylo both are. I think I'm interested to see what his like completed training is going to entail. Yeah. Snoke.
I think that there are a lot of theories about Rey, and there's a lot of
that
she's Luke's daughter, and one of the big like pointers towards that is in the trailer, there's a few things in the trailer that were cut from the movie, and one of them is Luke paraphrasing himself, which in Return of the Jedi, when he says to Leia, you know, the Force rung strong in my family, my father, you know, myself and my sister, and then that's when Luke tells her that you know she's his sister.
Mm-hmm.
In the trailer, it's the Force rung strong in my family. My father before me, my sister, and you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just the fact that he would say, my family, list Leia, list Anakin, and mm-hmm. then another person who is related to him. Now, that could also be Kylo.
Yep. because he that's his nephew.
He could be saying that to Kylo because, you know, and you, and
it seems weird that if he's saying it to Kylo, he wouldn't say our family, since he would have known Kylo from when he was born.
Sure.
That's the one thing.
Rey, obviously, I think Rey's a Skywalker. I don't know. She's either Kylo's sister.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Or she's Luke's daughter. Or there's some. But Kylo is a Skywalker. I would be shocked simply because. And all the other indicators aside, there's the simple fact that the symbol that is used to connect her to Luke is Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
Mm-hmm.
And Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber is given to Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Luke fashions his own lightsaber. That's not Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. That's Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber.
It's he only used it for a movie and a half before he loses it at Bespin.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that people are, how the fuck did you get it? And Maz is like, oh, that's a story for another time.
It doesn't
matter because that lightsaber is so saturated in the Force.
It killed
all the younglings. It was there throughout the Clone Wars. And then it made its way to Luke after being in Obi-Wan's possession for so long on Tatooine. Like, the Clone Wars TV show has shown that lightsabers are not exactly sentient, but the crystals saturated in Force definitely have personality properties.
Oh yeah, that's why a young Jedi's, the way they got their lightsabers was they were sent out to go find their crystal. The crystal called to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to kind of use the Force and go out and find the one that was theirs.
And that's also how you get the color of your saber is the crystal that you find.
I need to talk about Rey because she's so great. And so things I love about Rey besides just everything, I'll get into specifics, but she never needs to be rescued.
Yeah,
she is always either in the middle of rescuing herself, or she is the one doing the rescuing. Like that great opening bit where Finn, you know, sees someone punch her, and he's like, "Her!" and goes running over to save the day, and then she just beats those dudes down.
Yeah, by the time he gets there, he's kind of like, "Oh, I."
And he's just like, "I guess I'll look at these pots." Mm. Like, I'm just here. I wasn't coming to save her.
The hand grabbing bit was funny.
Yeah, well, like, quit taking my hand. Like, I know I run without you holding my hand.
After the blast from the TIE fighters in that junkyard
when
scene.
When he's unconscious.
He gets kind of shaken a little, gets his bell rung, and he gets up, and she's fine, and he says, "Are you okay?" She's like, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she grabs his hand and yanks him up and runs.
When they get to the Starkiller base, and we're like, all right, now we just need to go find where Rey's being held. And it's like, with the chin. She's already like scale. Like
she's solved that problem.
It never even occurs to her to think like maybe I should wait here for them or I should. Instead, she's like, I need to go because they need my help.
Well, she's waiting on Jakku for her family or whoever dropped her off to come get her. And she clearly has these. She's got a little fucked up abandonment stuff going on.
No one ever came for her, so...
And so when Finn shows up and Chewie tells her that it was his idea...
Finn's idea, yeah.
I mean, clearly that means a lot to her.
Oh, yeah, you can tell. Yeah. It means... Yeah, and that ends like... Okay, so she is never... I don't really care about this stuff. I don't never had a problem with Slave Leia. But she's never in a sexualized outfit. There's never a scene, even people like Kaylee in Firefly, there's never a scene where she's prettied up and someone says, "You clean up well," or, "Oh my gosh, you look like a girl," or, "Oh wow, you're so pretty now."
Her appearance is never an issue.
It's never a thing. What she looks like is never a thing. The one nice thing that Finn says is that the way she looked, no one's ever looked at me the way you looked at me before. And it's more in the way that she looked at him, like he could matter. Yeah. Not anything about, like, I never saw anything as beautiful as you or anything like that, which is amazing. I mean, it may not seem like that big of a deal, but it's fucking incredible that happened.
The third time I cried in the movie, the first time we watched it, was when the lightsaber went into the snow.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, fuck. Like that, as soon as it goes in the snow, you're like, I know it's going to get pulled out of the snow by the Force.
Yep.
And Kylo reaches out for it.
Yeah.
And it zooms past him. And a second, Rey holds it for the first time. Because in Maz's cantina, she only touched it.
It's not the same.
She didn't hold it.
She didn't brandish it.
When it flies and it lands in her hand, And
when she turns it on,
I just started crying because it was just like it was meant to be there.
As a kid, I played Star Wars with my cousins, and they never let me be anyone but Princess Leia. And all I was ever allowed to do was get tied to a tree while they would play with sticks that were their lightsabers, and or tied to the bed, or tied to something. And then they would do their space battles where they all got to be all the cool guys, and then they would come rescue me. And that was it. That was it. And every time I was like, I want to be Luke. You can't be Luke. You're a girl. Well, then let me have a lightsaber. You can't have a lightsaber. Girls can't be Jedi.
Which shows a complete failure to understand Leia in the first place. I mean, holy fuck. Well, she rescues herself from Jabba the Hutt. She chokes the motherfucker to death.
But still.
She needs rescuing from the Death Star because, let's face it, she's not Force sensitive.
Right.
You know,
she is, but she
doesn't know it. She's not trained. Yeah, it's, you know, but still, she holds her own against fucking Darth Vader until
they
show up.
She does. I will say, for the time, she doesn't. She does more than women were doing in movies at the time. But it's still still wasn't the same as the strongest, like, badass for fighting and everything in the movie being a girl. Like,
when Han bites it and they show her,
Leia, when they show Leia feeling it, yeah.
They show Leia, like, back at the...
A disturbance in the Force. Which is that,
you know, the echo of Obi-Wan.
She's Force sensitive. She's in the expanded universe, they said she's as strong as, she has as much potential as Luke. She just has none of the training or anything, and it's not a choice for her. She doesn't care.
Well, I'm sure it's part of why this is the thing, like, at least in our RPGs, we talk about, like, people can be low level Force sensitive, and it can do things like, it can make them a better general. It can make them able to inspire people more. It can make them able to see around problems
Great pilot or mechanic, is obvious with Rey.
Yeah. She's a great pilot, great mechanic, great fighter. Like,
when she and Finn, who is also amazing, are escaping in that piece of garbage and the turret gun breaks and she cuts the engines, flips the ship, and he gets the shot. When I think that's the first time where you're like, oh, this bitch uses the Force. I think
she doesn't realize she's doing it.
Right. I think it's innate.
She doesn't realize she's doing it, although she's... there was a criticism I saw that I actually really disagreed with, the idea that Rey learns how to use the Force sort of like too quickly. I'm like, no, it's like she becomes aware that she can use the Force when she's having that face-off with Ren.
Yeah.
You know, when she becomes aware that she can stop him.
When that I feel like that was her realizing she could use it when she wanted to, as opposed to it just happening to her. But also, she uses it when she's in the restraints.
Yeah,
she does, and then she uses it.
She's starting to
get out of the restraints. Yep. She's figuring it out, and there was a criticism that it's too fast. It's like, well, no, if she's she does it wrong the first couple of times.
The blast from that Force vision. First of all, I hate when people say that things are wrong in that way in a world where we have an all-encompassing energy field that makes fate and destiny whatever, but there's Force ghosts, but we're worried about how fast she learns her magical powers. But the blast from that Force vision, like the power of that Force vision ripping through her, for all we know, lit up all her circuits.
It could have.
Kylo
Ren is so wild and uncontrolled with his power that when he has that channel open to her to read her thoughts and look at her memories, who's to say that he hasn't opened that channel and all it takes is a little bit of Force to reverse that direction of that, you know? Like, it really, like, he established a connection there. Yep. Who's to say it isn't two-way? We don't know how this shit works.
She's just pushing back against it.
He's got a crazy new power set that we haven't seen before that's super fucking badass, stopping a boltcaster bolt in the air.
I love him. Yeah. I loved him.
He's great.
I didn't like Darth Vader very much. Like, not because you're not supposed to, but I mean, like, I genuinely... When I was a kid and when I was an adult, like a teenager watching, I was like, Darth Vader. Like, he didn't scare me too much. He felt like a really, like, it felt like military bad guy as opposed to, like, a guy that I actually had to be afraid of. Because it was like, it's hard to be afraid of someone who's just going to kill you.
Kylo Ren is dangerous as fuck.
Kylo Ren is dangerous because he isn't just going to kill you. The whole, like, you know I can take what I want.
Yeah.
Like, he knows the value of keeping you alive. He knows the value of...
He's reckless and young.
Yeah,
and he feels a need to prove himself to be bad.
Yep. Anakin's Anakin.
I don't think he kills Han Solo because he has to. I think he kills Han Solo because... Han to prove to himself that he can be evil enough.
That's why he says, I need you... That's why he says, I need you to help me, but I don't know if I'm strong enough.
Yeah,
can you help me? Can you help me do this last thing I need to do?
He hates the idea that he could be good.
Mm-hmm.
Almost as much. I mean, there's so much self-loathing in Kylo Ren.
Oh yeah,
and it makes him a really much more fascinating character than any Sith that we've met.
He's like an anti-hero.
Any dark
force
user that we've met. So far.
We've just only met Sith
He's a more compelling character. I mean, as I say,
in the cartoons.
I don't give a fuck whether he's redeemed. He fucking killed Han Solo. Yeah, I don't think he will be. But at the same time, I think that they really did a much better job of defining Ren as a villain. And it's like, I don't think the people around him who think they control him know how dangerous he is. And if the story goes the way I would like to see it go, it's like there's going to be a point where Ren... basically takes, you know, because this Supreme Commander whatever. I kind of hope that he's an Emperor wannabe who's gonna go down in the next movie when Ren basically is like, no, this shit is mine.
I think he's gonna decide that the next thing he needs to do to prove to, you know, whatever.
He's going to go complete his training, and so who knows what that entails. Some people have the theory that, I mean, if you look at Snoke. Who is probably not human. What we know about Snoke from in interviews with Andy Serkis. Mm-hmm. Andy Serkis said, Snoke, he's doing performance capture for Snoke because Snoke is not physically playable by a person in costume.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Snoke is either huge or small.
Mm-hmm.
Or a hologram or something. There's something more to this, what we've been presented.
Mm-hmm.
His face is all kinds of scarred and fucked up, possibly lightsaber scars on his head and then across his mouth and then on his cheek. He's very mangled up. Some people have thought that Snoke completing Kylo's training would possibly involve taking over his body from him. Stealing.
Yeah.
He's been preparing a vessel.
Sure,
Other people have theorized that Snoke is Darth Plagueis, who holds the power of life and death, the Sith master that trained Sidious. I don't think he's Sith. I think it's more interesting for him not to be Sith.
I would agree.
I have to say also, I really, we haven't talked much about Finn, and I really liked his character.
Oh my God.
And I really liked what they are doing with the First Order, because it makes them, I think, far more sinister than the Empire was.
Oh, yeah.
And ultimately, the Empire was using a bunch of clone troopers.
Yeah.
The First Order is taking kids and brainwashing them.
Oh, and the way they talk about it, so when they say he previously showed no nonconformist behavior, and we sent him for reconditioning, but, you know, so that, because someone was like, someone at work today was like, well, it just seems weird that, like, he's the first ever stormtrooper to, like, buck his training. I'm like, no. He's the first ever stormtrooper to get away with it at this late stage.
And he's not a stormtrooper.
I'm guessing they kill kids constantly.
He's not a stormtrooper as we understand them in the original trilogy, and I think it's a mistake for people to think that because they talk about because the stormtroopers in the original trilogy are clones. We know that.
This guy at work was understanding what they are. He was just saying it seems weird that he misunderstood. He was thinking that because they didn't say he's the first one to buck the training. What they said was he's shown no signs of nonconformity before. I'm like, I have a feeling that there's probably a number of strikes
and they get reset and then, reconditioned
or killed.
Killed.
Or they just kill you. I mean, why wouldn't they just kill you? Well, also, he'd only ever been in sanitation.
Yeah.
So this is his first battle. As soon as he sees battle, he's like, oh, fuck no. Oh, fuck. Oh, God, no.
Kylo Ren, like, looks over and is like, something's up with that guy.
You can tell, like, it's like a Spidey sense. He just kind of goes,
Huh. That guy.
And then
and that's why later when they're like, a stormtrooper escaped with him, and he's like, FN-2187.
The one from the village. Yep.
He knows right away. Phasma knows right away.
Yep.
Which I love, so I like to joke. Phasma is the new Boba Fett. You can tell because she's super badass. She's got an awesome costume. She had five lines in the movie.
Played by somebody who we all are like, oh, I can't wait to see Gwendolyn Christie.
But yeah. Right. But Hux... The Ginger Joseph Scrimshaw, General Hux.
Yeah, General Hux.
Oh, he's a great. He's a believer. He's scary because he's a real believer. Yeah. Is he still alive?
He lived. I think
he
escapes with Ren.
That Hitler speech he gives.
Yeah, the Young Republicans Hitler speech.
When he is trembling and his eyes are filling with emotional tears, and the shot of the laser from the Starkiller is going across the sky and it's lit up in his eyes, and he's just like, you can tell that he is just like rock hard and like just so excited. Yeah. Oh my God, he's dangerous.
He's very dangerous, and that's the nice thing that they've done is they've created multiple villains that are dangerous. They've created the First Order. You understand more about the First Order than you ever understood about the Empire. Mm-hmm. And like I say, these aren't clone troopers. These are kids that have been reconditioned.
They're unsullied.
Stormtroopers. But that means that also every one of them that dies is a tragedy.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because these are lives that were stolen by the First Order.
And I feel like they saw... The opening scene of this movie is so brilliant for so many ways, but particularly with Finn's storyline and giving us an idea of the First Order. Because it opens up, we see the transport with the stormtroopers, and it looks just like how many war movies have you seen with a bunch of Marines sitting in jump seats and kind of shifting around, and you can just kind of tell they're just getting ready.
Like aliens, Starship Troopers.
And so then we see, like torching the village and killing the villagers. Right away, two troopers are running, and one goes down, and Finn, we find out later, but one trooper runs to the body of his fallen comrade, which we've never seen before. They've never given a shit when one has fallen. They've never gone over to be like, and he holds him, and then that bloody hand coming up to mark the helmet so that now we know which one he is the whole way through.
Right.
Yep.
Boyega's amazing physical acting of like looking like unsure and breathing heavy.
How
he's holding his blaster and his shoulders and the quick jerky movements he's doing of like he doesn't know where to go. It felt very much like Saving Private Ryan, someone who's confronted with the actuality of war, and then all of that sets up it, and then the whole like what should we do with the villagers? Oh, kill them.
Kill them all.
Just kill them. That's not the way Empire...
They set up...
They usually be like, take them prisoner. Yeah.
That same scene establishes Kylo Ren as this... He's doing shit with the Force that we've never seen people do with the Force before. Mm-hmm. Like the weird freezing people thing.
And the blaster.
And the brain reading thing. Like he knows right away that Poe put him in a droid in BB-8. And it establishes Poe as the wisecracking pilot guy who's like... Who talks first? Do I talk first?
Oh my God, that was
funny.
Oh my God,
what's going on here?
Tense as fuck moment. Yeah. And he's just like, nah.
So we know Finn is different. We know Kylo Ren is strong. We know the new First Order is fucking evil as shit. And we know Poe
is not afraid.
Is a wisecracking.
Not afraid of anything. Yeah. Yep.
There's so many great characters that not even all of them got defined in this movie. And if the movie has a weakness, there are things that you can nitpick, but I think the biggest weakness is so many characters, not enough time. Mm. And all of them got some good character moments, but I wanted them to have more. And my big fear is that in the next movie, what they're going to do is throw a bunch of extra characters at us, when what they really need to do, I think, is give us more of the characters that we have.
You said that they're adding, if they are adding... Some, but then everyone will be back.
I don't think they will, because if you think of the way that it went between New Hope and Empire, they didn't add a lot of characters.
Yeah,
they've already established that they're adding.
I'm just saying. Okay. They didn't add a lot of characters. They added one or two, and they were vital, and it was important, like Lando and, was Mon Mothma in 5?
No.
She's prequels, no.
She's
yeah. She's, I don't remember what they add, but they add a few random named characters,
and you're
like,
six.
Okay, so I don't think they're gonna add a lot. I don't think they're gonna do the problem the prequels did, where it was like, and now here's another 10 Jedi, and they all have names and backstories, and they're all crazy new aliens. I think instead it'll be they'll add a few like more like the original trilogy did. But I I thought the pacing was fantastic. Oh, yeah. And that's something I've always hated about the original Star Wars movies. The joke about, like, me not liking Star Wars that Nick always used to make is more just that I don't want to watch it all the time because I think the movies can be kind of slow. And I thought this was not slow at all. This is the first time I've wanted to go see a movie again in the theater so fast. I can't.
I see that. To me, that's modern pacing versus 70s mm-hmm. pacing.
That's fine.
Same with the amount of humor.
And I like modern pacing better.
Because same with the amount of humor. Jeremy Stomberg, the first time we saw it with him at the Fantasy Flight Games company outing. And Jeremy was like, there was a lot of humor. And I was like, that's movie J. J. now Abrams. That needs to appeal to a wider general audience needs to have that much humor in it.
And I there's a lot of humor in the original Star Wars.
See, it's, I think the pacing just highlighted it more. And Abrams did. I thought the reason I'm saying it is because you're saying you wish there had been more from the characters, and I worry. I can't think of anywhere I would have added time or added scenes or added lines because it just all went so well. And it all just moved right along, and everything was show, not tell. Like, everything was show. Rey could have very easily been like, I've been here since I was six, and someone dropped me off, and I'm waiting for them to come back. But instead it was just, nope, I'm waiting for my family, and then we see a Force vision kind of a thing. Like, it was all shown.
I want to see, because I think Finn is Force sensitive, too.
He might
and
be.
I was almost disappointed that he didn't get taken to because the thing is he wasn't a complete rube with a lightsaber.
No, but I think that's just because he was trained in melee combat. They showed him able to do melee stuff, and I don't know. Yeah.
The First Order has been hunting Luke Skywalker. And so, what are you going to do? You're going to have stormtroopers that are trained in melee combat that have a weapon that can contest a lightsaber, as they show in the movie.
Yeah, that awesome vibro. Why don't we want to call it vibro truncheon?
Yeah,
like yeah.
So I mean, they show another stormtrooper who even addresses Finn as a traitor outside of Maz's temple, cantina, whatever. And he fights that stormtrooper with a lightsaber. I think that's a part of the stormtrooper training is some melee combat against lightsabers at this part.
Yeah, but
and I think having a lightsaber, he can adapt that.
They couldn't teach him how to fight. I don't know. He was able to hold his own against somebody who's using the dark side for more than seconds.
Yeah, that's true.
Somebody who's well trained.
Yeah. How about this? I won't be surprised if it goes either way. Yeah. I won't be surprised if he's Force sensitive. I won't be surprised if he's not.
I just hope they're not, like, everyone's Jedi. Like, I just don't want that to happen.
It is the Force Awakens. That's the thing. That's...
So...
If there's been an awakening, maybe what that means is there's more Force...
I don't think... I never remember names, but I don't think, what's his name, the pilot, I don't think he's Force sensitive.
Well, no.
Unless, just the whole idea that to be a really good pilot, maybe you've got a little bit of low range Force sensitivity.
So he's a Corellian.
The very first line in the movie, Max von Sydow as a Lor San Tekka, very first line in the movie is spoken line, such a fourth wall breaking moment. Hopefully this begins to set things right.
This will begin to set things right. That's what he says as he hands the map with the thumb drive. Is this will begin to set things right, which is great.
That's
an Abrams,
You guys, we don't need to worry about the prequels.
This will
set things right.
And we've got to get on to five questions, but I mean,
I could talk about this for 2 hours.
Easily.
The movie to me is everything that the prequels did badly. This film did well.
I agree with that.
It created an emotional attachment to the new characters, not just the good guys, but the bad guys.
And that was something Star Wars didn't always do super well in the original.
You didn't care about Vader.
You did eventually. Eventually, first movie, he's just badass motherfucker. Second movie, though, I feel like you start to, like, care. I mean, not positively, but, like, he inspires emotional reaction beyond
just... The first movie, Vader is the force of evil. He is the unstoppable...
Yeah.
He is the unstoppable object that the rebellion must defeat. He is the embodiment of the evil of the Empire. There's not... Star Wars, I think... And I don't know if the... I'm not the ultimate Star Wars geek, but to me, you know, maybe Jeremy is, but to me, Star Wars... Yes, Lucas wanted to do more, but he didn't know if he could. So if you look at Star Wars as a movie that may or may not ever have a sequel, you know, and the only real indicator that there can be a sequel is they let Darth Vader live. But if Darth Vader is the only thing that's alive, it doesn't really matter. As far as you know, the Empire has been effectively destroyed. You've heard these weird things about the Emperor and the Galactic Senate and regional governors, but you destroyed the Death Star, the rebellion's ahead. The rebellion at this point could be assumed to have won the last major battle, and everything from here is a skirmish. And so if you look at it as a standalone film, there isn't time to establish Vader as much more than the embodiment of the evil that is the Empire.
I can see that, yeah.
And then it's episode five, where Darth Vader starts to develop as a character beyond just that icon.
Yeah, I guess for me, when you say emotional attachment, I feel like emotional attachment, I don't consider like
sympathy.
I don't consider hate and like ew to be an emotion. And that's all I ever felt for Darth Vader, was like, he's bad and should be stopped. Kylo Ren, you feel like he is dangerous. A part of you is like, but anyone who's ever had father issues or even parent issues probably has a weird sympathy, or at least some kind of at least. Like, God, okay, I don't know where we're going with this,
he is being so obviously manipulated by the people around him because he is so completely out of control.
And well, because they're older, and he's a kid. He looks like he's maybe 20.
And they're using him to their advantage.
So, just one or two things, just real quick before we go back. One thing that I kind of thought, that a lot of people theorizing about, like, why did R2-D2 turn back on? Like, what was it? Was it Rey? Is she a Skywalker DNA? Was it the Force? What was it? J.J. Abrams came out today in a writer's thing and said the thumb drive. It's the thumb drive. It's BB-8 having the thumb drive by R2-D2 is
the
what
proximity.
Reactivates him. And then another thing, in the Force flashbacks, when Rey touches
the visions,
Anakin's lightsaber, the visions she gets, the whispers and stuff you hear there.
Yeah.
There is Frank Oz as Yoda. There is Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
They took audio of him saying afraid and changed it to Rey.
Huh.
And J.J. Abrams said, it's exactly the way I would have asked him to say it. I would have directed him to say it. I couldn't have hoped for better than the audio.
And they got Ian McGregor, too.
And then they got Ian McGregor saying the rest of the line, which is, Rey, these are your first steps. And
really
so that's
cool.
One of the things in that flashback, and he said
Force Vision. It's called a Force Vision.
I'm just, whatever it is. Some of it's a flashback, because they show the Knights of Ren and their little uprising rebellion thing.
Oh, Force Visions can be past and future. I mean,
I know.
That's, yeah.
Right. So it's, I don't know, it's just a couple of neat things I wanted to say out there
cool.
that I've been reading.
I'm excited to see some Knights of Ren.
Well, next is...
Rogue One.
The dogfighter heist movie. I'm hoping maybe we get to see some Lor San Tekka in that. Maybe that'll be our connection for him.
Yeah, it's... you know, I really don't... There are certainly nitpicky things. I don't think it's a perfect movie, but I think it's a damn fine movie.
What's your order, Tim, for at least the six?
See, and I said this yesterday, I do not believe that this film could be as good as it is without the original trilogy. The original trilogy creates a mythology that this film builds on. There's no emotional resonance to Han Solo's death if you don't already have that connection to Han Solo from the original trilogy. So,
but just appreciating them as movies.
As movies, I still think 5 is the best, because 5 took the original film, took Star Wars, and turned it into a universe instead of an individual film.
Yeah, 5 is just the best.
5 to me is the best. 4, I think, is the second best.
What?
Because it establishes everything. Because if
so four, not as a movie, but as the beginning of a franchise.
You guys, the light year leap from every science fiction film that preceded Star Wars to Star Wars is astronomical.
I still say
all because you couldn't get the rights to do Flash Gordon.
I still say that I can, and I have a similar, thing with the Gunslinger books, with the Dark Tower books. Something can be the thing that is the start, that is the way that the universe gets built, that is the beginning of everything, and still not be the best. Or even like the there's things can be still be better than that. I firmly believe, and I don't need to make anyone agree with me, I think 7 is the best of the movies.
And then what? And then 7.
7, then 5, then 4, then 6. Because I think that 7 is the most entertaining. I think it has the most heart. I think it has the, I think that the inclusion of Rey and Finn makes it.
You had the biggest emotional response from 7.
I did have the biggest emotional response to 7, and that's so, that's a personal thing.
I think that's fair, and I still think four.
Yeah.
4 as a touchstone film is amazing.
Sure.
We all agree that of the 4 Star Wars films, that Jedi is the worst.
Of the original trilogy existing and Star Wars films.
Not the 4
because there are only 4 Star Wars films.
Of the 4 we give a fuck about.
I didn't hate the prequels as much as everyone.
I'm just saying, of the 4 we give a fuck about right now at this moment.
Okay.
Yeah. 6 Jedi is the worst of the
Jedi was a family film.
Jedi had some absolutely fantastic moments.
And also Yub Yub, right.
Yeah. But it also has some really tragic...
Jedi tried to put a very happy bow on the end of something that I don't think could ever be a happy ending because it is the story of a galaxy being torn apart by war. Yeah. And there's just no happy ending with a medal ceremony and a party for that.
Yeah. Like, so I think after the first viewing, I said 5-4-7-6.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm saying 5-7-4-6.
Okay.
I like this more than New Hope. Oh. I like it. I like Empire will always kind of be my favorite, I think, though. Maybe we'll see. Challenge that. I hope Rian Johnson make the next one better.
Rian Johnson is making the next one. So that's going to be very exciting.
Maybe Brick. 8 can be better. But here's the thing. I think it is largely splitting hairs. When you're talking about the top 3 Star Wars films, they are all I think they're all terrific films. I think Jedi is mostly good, but has some really gaping flaws that put it pretty far back. And then I think
suffers from a few bad choices.
I think everyone's opinion is going to be obviously subjective, but also biased because your emotional reaction is going to color how you feel about something. Mm-hmm. And I really did love Star Wars as a kid. I had R2-D2 underoos, I had the whole deal, I played, we had all the figures, but like it never connected with me the way it did, and maybe it's because I just was a girl and I wasn't really into, at the time, dogfights in space, but like, it disconnected with me in a different way. It just did. Yeah. And also because I make little tiny plastic spaceships, and so watching all these ships that I knew all that stuff about, Poe in the TIE FO going, this thing really moves, was so great. Like,
so, Tim, I gotta... I'm giving my our nephew, Jack, Kevin's
who's
son.
Almost 2.
He's almost 2. For Christmas, one of the things we're giving him is my 79 New Hope
Kenner
Millennium Falcon.
Oh,
the playset thing, the big...
I had one of those.
It's not in stellar shape. It's in play with shape.
But he's 2,
because I wanted to get played with it. But he's 2, so he'll play with it more.
Yeah.
I don't need it, but, you know, I think maybe the Millennium Falcon should stay in the family.
I think you're right. All right, we got to do 5 questions.
Yeah, 5 questions.
5 questions.
You know, if you have thoughts about Star Wars, feel free to...
No, I was going to say, no. Don't comment on our Facebook page. On our website is one thing, but don't comment on the Facebook page.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Give
you
a little bit of credit.
I'm sorry, because I've been thinking about this as we were recording, and I'm like, this could show up in people's feeds without them even wanting it to.
No. We're going to make... I may even shut off the comments.
Can we?
Yeah, do it.
I think I can.
Yeah.
But if you want to comment on our website... that's absolutely cool.
We'll encourage that.
There. You know, and you know, I will say about spoilers, it's like once the movie's been out for a week, as far as I'm concerned, you know, watch it, but I don't feel as bad about it.
You know,
I feel like this movie came out during the holidays. Yeah. That's not fair. I think you need a month when a movie comes out during the holidays.
Adam Driver is hosting Saturday Night Live on January 16th. I think that is a great official spoiler moratorium date. Because they're going to talk about Star Wars and Saturday Night Live. They're going to fucking spoil shit on Saturday Night Live.
Be something, yeah.
They're going to do something about it on Saturday Night Live. And it's like 2 days shy of a month after the movie opened.
Yeah.
I think Saturday Night Live, January 16th, that's the perfect official moratorium end date on spoilers for this. My opinion.
It'll be interesting to see.
All right, well, we can have a separate discussion about spoilers, but we should do five questions.
We should do five questions.
Who's our...
What do we got?
We have five questions.
Who's
from
our Padawan? Who's our...
Abram Simons. And
Abram
he says,
Simons.
I sent in my original five questions with no preamble. You read them on episode 25. So I'll fix that this time. I've been a huge fan of the podcast since the very first episode. I'm pretty sure I picked it up from a tip from PZ Myers. Every Tuesday morning, I'm listening to your show, guaranteed. It makes my work day a little better. I live here in the Twin Cities.
Sweet. Cool.
All right.
Well, all right. Question number one. What's a movie you will stop and watch anytime it's on?
I just have to say, I love this. Probably The Emperor's New Groove.
Yay!
Doesn't matter what point it is in the movie, I'll watch it.
That's a great movie.
It is a great movie.
I love the Emperor's New Groove.
That's a great answer, Emperor's New Groove.
15th anniversary of The Emperor's New Groove this year, by the way.
Squeak, 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 squeaker, squeaking.
Squeaking.
Yeah. All right.
Patrick Warburton. I would like Patrick Warburton so much.
The whole movie's great.
If he had not supported Proposition 8 in
California. Yeah, that's too bad. Yeah. He's going to be the tick again. Question number two, what's your geekiest or most prized possession?
I have a copy of the Torchbearer RPG that is numbered, number 26 of 200, and autographed by the authors Thor Olafsrud and Luke Crane that I really, really want to play. On the other hand, I have a pair of well-used Vortex Razor binoculars that I've seen lots of birds with that I prize a little higher because they get used all the time.
Cool.
That's fair.
You should check out the bird chick and all her stuff.
I bet he has since he's listened to every episode.
I suppose.
Yeah. We had her on here and all that.
Trip. I know.
Question number three. What mythological or religious figure do you wish was real?
While I'd love to say the Lovecraft mythos, I don't want to go nuts.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
I think I'll have to go with dragons. Yeah. We'll go with Bahamut, the good dragon god of D&D. A giant platinum dragon god who doesn't want to eat you would be quite the sight. I would make a pilgrimage to that.
If we get Bahamut, do we also get Tiamat?
I want dragons from the dragons of Autumn Twilight. The books with the books I read that you said are based off D&D
Dragonlance.
Yeah, Dragonlance dragons.
The bullshit dragons.
Yeah, the good dragons.
All right.
Yeah. The best dragons.
Question number four. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem that humanity now faces?
Humanity's ability to create in-groups and out-groups based on nothing at all, coupled with our general failure to empathize with others.
Sure.
I think religion exacerbates this issue, but it won't go away just because religion does.
Us, them, tribalism.
It's the tribalism. Yeah. That's
a
popular answer.
It is the tribalism thing, which is a very...
Yeah.
And yeah, religion seems to create tribes. Religion conveniently can create tribes where there weren't some, or banned... different tribes together under the same banner might not necessarily be healthy together.
Oh,
yeah,
totally.
Not ethnic lines, but ideological.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and question number five, what's your favorite quote?
Death is only the end if you assume the story is about you. Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh,
that's a great quote from Night Vale too. That might be up my top three of quotes now. That's great.
That's a good one.
Top three of quotes for Molly. Well done. All right. Well, we hope you've enjoyed our conversation about The Force Awakens. If you don't like it, fuck you, haters. You're wrong.
There really is.
I think most true deep Star Wars fans love the movie, but of course are going to nitpick a few things about it, and that's fair because they're geeks and that's what they do. But seriously, love the movie. Obviously, if you've listened to this point, hopefully you've seen it and we didn't just spoil the shit out of it for you. But if somehow...
It's your fault.
Somehow, if you decided, I don't give a shit, I'm going to let Geeks Without God spoil the film for me, please understand that even though we spoiled the film for you, you should still go fucking see it.
Yes, really
should.
Agreed.
It is well worth it, and it is one of those few movies that we as geeks are fortunate enough to see live up to the hype.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking amazing.
Absolutely.
So follow us on Facebook and Twitter and rate us on iTunes and all that shit. And, oh, hey, by the way, it's coming up in a couple of days, so Merry fucking Christmas.
Merry Christmas, you godless heathens.
Yeah. Happy secular
Christmas. Actually, I think it already happened. No.
No, it's going up tomorrow. So.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Wow, look at that turnaround. Yeah, this is the fastest turnaround we've ever done.
Speedy motherfuckers.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, so...
Merry Christmas, assholes.
And non-assholes.
Oh, please. If they're listening to our show, they're probably assholes, just Fair like enough. Us.
And once again, we can't sign off for shit. Goodbye.
Bye. That's disgusting. BB-8, I am married.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. God, we don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
I feel like if you watch Star Wars, any of it, and your favorite character is one of the droids, I don't have anything else to talk about.